Hello friends, I am Soumindra Naik and I welcome you again to this interesting session on rural dynamics. The next chapter that we are going to discuss today is about post-harvest value chain management. This is a very important aspect of agriculture. So not just the production part, but after production, what about the harvest and the post-harvest? So this plays a very significant role because we are going to talk about the kind of losses, the quantum of losses that every year India is facing due to this and what can be done to check this. India is one of the largest producers of over 80% of agricultural products, including cash crops like coffee and cotton. But largely due to storage issues, the logistic and the financing of infrastructure are inadequate. These are the reasons which lead to harvest and post-harvest losses of major agricultural produce which are very much perishable in nature. In spite of making significant improvements in terms of production, employment generation and diversification, significant amount of produce from agriculture and allied sector is lost on its way during the transit from the farm to the customer or the actual consumer, with respect to both quantity as well as the quality. The total loss of agriculture, horticulture and livestock, which was about 62,875 crore in the years 2005-06, has gone up, and now there is a staggering figure of more than 92,000 crore which is lost every year, and this was estimated in the year 2016. There is a continuous rise of the wastage of agriculture produce during this post-harvest transit. And if the loss were prevented, just to say an assumption, we can easily feed 500 crore empty stomachs for a period of 1 year if we calculate like per day per meal of about 50 rupees a day. While post-harvest losses vary depending on the crops, agriculture practices, climate, etc., storage is usually the major and the primary reason for most cases. In India, we lack the storage facility for most of the produce. We have inadequate facilities for the cold storages. We have inadequate facilities during the transit from the farmer till the consumption end. Most harvested grains, fruits and vegetables are stored in traditional structures made of grass, wood or mud without any scientific design. They are highly perishable, or even the grains which are not perishable at the immediate moment, they are very much susceptible to the attack by post-harvest pest, which spoil the quality as well as the entire quantity of the grains. As a result, the bulk of the stored commodities, which are majorly lost to insect infestation or maybe rotting or maybe due to moisture, which again leads to the mold or fungus growth on them. So it is reported that about 10 to 11% of the fruits and vegetables cultivated in India use cold storage due to the expense involved and lack of suitable facilities. So you can just imagine, my friends, the kind of the quantum of fruits and vegetables which are not availing the facility of cold storage and being highly perishable. Either it has to be consumed within a very short span or it goes unutilized and lead to the large amount of wastage. Just imagine the kind of wastage that is happening in the supermarkets, and just imagine the kind of wastage that is happening during the transit from the villages to the cities due to the bad road conditions. So there is a lot of fruits and vegetable which are being damaged on the way during the transit. And we have seen, due to lack of any facility of cold storage and other protected scientific way of storing it, we incur a huge loss on the produce. Another setback to this whole dynamism is the finance. To avert storage woes due to lack of finance and liquidity, farmers are compelled to sell their produce, which we call as a distress sale. They have to sell it immediately as soon as the harvest because they don't have any places to store them, and they have to go to the market or they have to just sell it to any trader who comes to their place at a distress price and at whatever price available, and that is how the farmers are being exploited after getting a very good produce or good production and productivity. So the farmers at this position, they do not realize the best price, even if they discover the price is going to go up in the future, but they are compelled to sell due to lack of facility for storing it. Due to inadequate transportation, infrastructure commodities get damaged through bruisings and bad roads. Spillage do happen, and due to repeated loading and unloading and contamination and heat and humidity, in the absence of cold chain transportation, there is a huge amount of wastage that happens. Moisture, another very important parameter which spoils a lot of agricultural produce, especially during the rainy seasons, when during the transit and even during the harvest, lot of agriculture produce is being spoiled due to excessive moisture content in them, which not only leads to further fungal growth in them at a later stage, but also reduces the quality of the produce, and which becomes non-viable in the market space. Now, coming to certain facts and figures, we talk about the percentage of total harvest losses, and it ranges across all the crops, all the significant crops. Let me just give an example. Like in cereals, we have a cumulative wastage which range from 4.65% to about 5.99%. In pulses, we have a range of 6.36% to 8.41% of wastage. Oil seeds, over the years we have seen, has gone drastically from 3.08% to 9.96%. Again, the oil becomes very much rancid and the quality deteriorates even if we try to save some amount of it from being wasted. Fruits and vegetables is very unlikely to be safe in a stage where there is no resources to store it properly, and the extent of damage can go up till as high as 15.88%. Milk is one example where actually we have a good facility. Due to many cooperatives and other setups, we are able to control the amount of wastage. So it's just 0.9% that is being wasted, but or else we are able to accommodate milk and save it from wastage to a great extent. Fisheries, again, both inland and marine, and in case of marine fisheries, the amount of wastage can range up till as high as 10.52%, whereas in case of meat and poultry, again the wastage are huge. What are the reasons of post-harvest losses? Mainly the major reasons of post-harvest losses are poor management of value chains. Starting from the farmer till the time it reaches the consumer, it has to go through various traders, it has to go through various levels of distributors who actually buy those produce, and then they transit, and then finally it reaches the final consumer at his table for dining. And that's the huge range of various people who come into play during these value chains. And since this is very improperly managed or very poorly managed, there are chances of losses which ranges high. Poor infrastructure facility. The entire infrastructure, hardly we have any cold storage or storage facility in a scientific manner at many places where the crop is being grown. There are poor post-handling practices, poor incentive for quality products, lack of knowledge how to handle and how to extend the shelf life of a produce, that is lacking at many stages. And that actually results an impact upon the total post-harvest losses. Lack of access to affordable credit facilities. We have already spoken about the finance part. So due to this lack of finance, we are not able to build up the infrastructure which is required at this stage to enhance the shelf life of this agricultural produce. The market inefficiencies, there are lack of off-takers, the advantage of which is taken by the traders, and they ask the farmers for a distress sale at a very low price and the farmer actually realizes a low price while selling his produce and is off-taken by a trader, and there are not a single tier of trader. There are almost 2 to 3 tiers of traders who comes in between as players, and before it finally reaches to another seller in a supermarket or in a big shop where actually the consumer comes in and buy for the produce. This also is applicable to the export houses, where actually it is not being handled by a single machinery. And then we have low levels of food processing, which is again another reason for the post-harvest losses. Just imagine, we have produced tomato, and these tomatoes we are not able to immediately utilize in the market. So most of the tomatoes which are going for market, they could have been used when they are into the spoilage mode. Before that, they could have been saved and utilized as a processing in a processing form where they can be converted into sauces and other ingredients. But that is what we are lacking due to the lack of these processing facilities. There is a high export rejection rates and sharp decline in revenue from exports, greater presence of pesticides, and then finally increasing imports. Just imagine, our basmati rice being exported from India is rejected by US or even European nations due to the fact that it has contained some amount of pesticides which were restricted for entry into those countries. And in spite of those restrictions, there are traces of these pesticides found on the produce. Similarly, there are a few other examples where our mangoes, like Alfonso mango, has been rejected back due to some insect pest and some insecticides being applied on them. These are the various examples which has led to the rejection of various post-harvest produce. In 2015-16, the revenue from Indian agriculture export has fallen to a 5-year low of $32 billion from $43 billion in the year 2014. One of the major reasons is lower prices of our commodities in the global market. They are not able to realize that kind of price what them are meant to. They are not able to sell that kind of quality which is supposed to be in getting from those global markets. Reasons for low prices of our commodities in global markets can be various, starting with higher real effective exchange rates. This has been fluctuating over the years, and we can say that is on a continuous rise to some extent if you compare the past few years. There is a collapse of global agricultural commodity prices. This is due to the reason that now many countries have become very much competitive in producing those commodities which earlier we used to have a strong hold and we were the leading producers. Due to availability of low cost labors in countries in Africa, where actually they are able to produce at a much cheaper price, in countries in Latin America where they are able to exploit the economy of scale. So here India has to compete among all those countries to establish itself again as a market leader back in position. There is a local scarcity of supply due to successive droughts, and more importantly, the food safety and quality issues, which is becoming more and more stringent these days. And the regulators are very much firm and very stringent on what all guidelines they have rolled out for accepting of the food of a particular quality and rejecting anything which is found beyond what they have defined clear on in terms of the pesticides or any other insecticides used on them. There is a need for effective and streamlined post-harvest value chain management in India. Consciousness about food safety and quality and procedural methods to improve it need to be embedded right from the sourcing and production stage to transportation and marketing. It is an urgent need to remove roadblocks in achieving the objectives. Now friends, just let me list down the major bottlenecks the existing in the road of post-harvest management. If we talk about the traditional unorganized value chains, these are one of the major bottlenecks. We also have inefficient markets which are not ready at the moment to give the farmer the best price. Unorganized distribution and retail, which is slowly declining but still holds the major chunk of the entire distribution and retail chain. Lack of demand based on model for production and market information. There are difficulties in financing and bankers' risk management. Just imagine somebody trying to take up a storage facility or a cold storage facility at his own interior village, where actually he needs to store the produce, or maybe a group of farmers or a cooperative needs to store, but the financing becomes difficult due to the risk bearing ability. Here even the institutions take a back foot and in delivering the financial aid required for that setup. The post-harvest management infrastructure and technology is very much inadequate and unscientific at the moment. There is a sporadic and low level of innovation and R&D, and hardly anything has been happening which is a kind of transformation or significant, we can say, in the past few years. There is a gap in the capacity building of human resources to handle whatever has been produced or obtained. If we talk about the typical value chain, here it's very much hierarchical, I can say. When a farmer produces his produce in the farm, he has to sell it either to a village merchant, or he can also sell it to a commission agent. Again, the commission agent sell it to a wholesaler. The wholesaler sells it to a semi-wholesaler, and then the semi-wholesaler sells it back to a retailer, and finally it reaches the customers or the consumers, that is you and me, who feed on those agriculture produce. But this chain is not so simple. It is very complicated, and there may be various tiers of middlemen involved in between. It's not just one commission agent, it can be various commission agents. It's not just one level of village merchants or one level of wholesaler, it can be various tiers of village merchants and wholesalers. And more the number of people involved in the entire value chain, the lesser the price the farmer realizes. So if a farmer produces something at a very low price and he sells it to just to realize just a smaller profit, the middleman takes a larger chunk of the profit, and by the time it reaches the customer, the price of the producer has almost gone 4 to 5 folds. The market inefficiency, if we talk about it, agriculture markets in India are characterized by poor competitiveness, monopoly, fragmentation, inefficiency, presence of middlemen, and price manipulations. So these are the various characteristics which define the inadequateness of the market. Coming to the distribution and retail part of it, in India, unorganized retail continues to be the most popular format to sell produce from agriculture and allied sectors. Vendors with push carts sell fresh produce. Small kirana stores sell dry fruit products. Meat and poultry and marine products are sold by small retailers in wet markets. Produce sold in this format is most susceptible to quality deterioration. Due to low hygiene labels, there is need to establish more and more organized retail such as supermarkets. If we talk about the market information, in India, there is no one-stop source to obtain all the information pertaining to all value chains, such as market prices, supply and demand, weather forecast, best farming practices, latest technological advancements, and government schemes and subsidies. So there has to be one window which can provide all this information at one place under one roof. But as of now, we hardly struggle, like we always struggle in finding a place where actually we can gather or collate all this information together. So what is happening is, like, farmer is running from here to there across approaching many different players who are giving some informations in bits and pieces. And when at the time he collate all, it's a very tedious job and he lose on the opportunity. The market information currently farmers access through TV, mobile phones or small local markets. ITC has done a commendable job in enabling its initiatives such as eChopal, which are also available, majorly focused on various products. They first started with soya in MP and then they expanded it across various crops. That is, it's a kind of hub and spoke model, but the farmers are able to reap the benefits out of it. There is a need to develop a demand-based model for production and market information. Now, talking about the financing and risk management, farmers with small land holdings do not possess any collateral. They face difficulties in accessing timely, adequate and affordable credit. They often rely on unorganized sources like money lenders for credit who are available on time and do not want much documentation. However, the cost of these funds is exorbitantly high as they charge very high interest rate on whatever money they lend to these farmers, and that there begins the debt trap and the farmers enter the vicious cycle of giving the money back to the money lender. Majority of the food processing firms are small or medium sized and have no linkages with farmers. They do not directly procure from the farmers. That's a major reason why farmers are not able to realize the value they could have done if they would have directly linked to these processors. These processors rely on the retailers to undertake marketing of the processed products. With large working capital requirement, they also find it difficult to access timely credit at reasonable cost.